Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. If you would like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on autism when we come back. 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, and you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law from Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16, when they put into our federal constitution these 17 words. They're found in Article 1, Section 10 of our federal constitution. It says, quote, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. And in place of these just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. They gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills, and they gave us clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons in our business school conducted twice a year here at the law school. If you'd like to learn more, call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, and it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about this thing of autism. What causes it? Who brought it about? And what do you do to solve the autism problem? We'll talk more about what to do to solve the autism problem when we get to segment number 7. But here, let me bring to your attention that autism has been linked to mercury vaccine. This is an article written by Rosie Waterhouse in the UK Times. So you people over in Great Britain have some autism going on over there also. But you've got some vaccinations going on over there also. Maybe you might want to consider this. Mercury in vaccines for babies and infants could be the cause of a steep rise in cases of autism in children around the world, according to a growing number of scientists. The increase in reports of autism in Britain, America, and some other countries coincides with a growth in the number of inoculations given to young children, say the researchers. Many of the vaccines contain a preservative called thimerosal. Thimerosal is 49.6% mercury. Mercury is a substance known to have neurotoxic effects, especially in infants whose brains are still developing. Symptoms are similar to those displayed by autistic children. And autism is a spectrum of disorders that range in severity from bizarre, violent behavior to an inability to communicate or interact socially. among the repetitive patterns of behavior. Now, estimates of the prevalence of the syndrome in Britain range from 10 cases per 10,000 of the population with classic autism to 9.1 cases per 1,000 showing some signs of autistic behavior. The National Autistic Society estimates that there are about 500,000 people with autism in Britain. 120,000 of them are children, and according to one recent study, there has been a tenfold increase among children between 1984 and 1994. The new possible explanation of the rise has emerged after a two-month review of all of the available information by the Sunday Times. Several groups of academics and researchers in America and Sweden are investigating similar theories that a combination of factors is to blame. They include a genetic predisposition, the cumulative effects of mercury in vaccines lowering the immune system, with the controversial measles, mumps, and rubella, the MMR triple vaccine, being a possible trigger. The U.S. Institute of Medicine is so concerned that officials have organized a two-day meeting in July to discuss the hypothesis that thimerosal and mercury in vaccines are linked to autism. Boyd Haley, chemistry professor at the University of Kentucky, has been asked to submit a paper, "Thimerosal is extremely toxic. The preliminary data is convincing and does indicate that vaccines are the most likely suspect for causing autism," he said. Now, in general, the researchers argue the cumulative effects of mercury impair brain development and damage the child's immune system and gastrointestinal tract, resulting in hypersensitivity to toxic environmental substances. This buildup could lead to autism or a form of mercury poisoning, whose symptoms are very similar. In addition, researchers believe the MMR triple vaccine, usually given at 18 months to 2 years old, could trigger autism because the damaged immune system cannot cope with 3 live viruses at once. Only some children exposed to mercury will develop symptoms. Researchers believe this indicates that there may be a genetic predisposition. This theory was reinforced by a study published this month that showed that in 99% of autistic children, a family of proteins essential for disposing of mercury and other heavy metals is missing or disabled in those victims. The proteins, called MT, are the main way in which the body encounters heavy metal. The study by the Chicago-based Pfeiffer Center, a health research institute, found that 503 autistic patients, 499 showed an MT dysfunction. The number of vaccinations given to babies and children in Great Britain and America has increased over the years very significantly. In the United States, the number given before the age of 2 has risen from 8 in 1980 to 22 presently. In Britain, in 1970, most children received diphtheria, tetanus, polio, whooping cough, and BCG for tuberculosis. About half were also immunized against measles. In 1972, rubella was added, MMR in 1988, HIB, influenza type B, against a form of meningitis in 1992, MMR as a second dose in 1996, and meningitis C in 1999. The MMR first dose is given between 12 and 15 months with diphtheria and tetanus, and the second dose of MMR at 3 to 5 years. MMR does not contain thimerosal, though other child vaccines do. Thimerosal was introduced in the 1930s as a preservative and went into common use without review by America's Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, because it was assumed to be safe. In America, researchers found some infants who are being vaccinated using multi-dose vials with thimerosal, and they may receive as much as 62.5 micrograms of mercury per visit. Let me pause right there and put my famous Gordon mark in the margin. How much is safe, boys and girls? It is 0.1 per kilogram. Now, a kilogram is 2 pounds, 2.2 pounds. Now, let's say that you've got a child, and your baby here, you know, we're going to shoot this kid up now. And let's suppose your kid weighs 30 pounds. And that's a reasonable weight. You know, 2 years old, he weighs 30 pounds. That's 15 kilograms. We should be giving him 0.15, shouldn't we? Wait a minute. We're going to give this kid 62.5 micrograms of mercury per visit. Per visit. Every time you go in here, you're going to give your kid four times more mercury than is recommended or is considered to be safe. How many visits are you going to make to your pediatrician to get these 22 shots in the first couple of years into your kid? And by the time he's age 5 here in the United States, his total number of vaccinations is going to be 35. And they're headed toward 50 by the year 2020. Now, that's what they're telling us. Now, notice the evolution of this over time. Back in 1980, they got 8. Back when I was a kid, I think it was 4. So, you take a kid in 1950 or 1940, and he was going to get 4 shots, and they put thimerosal in it. The chances of getting autism weren't very great because he only got 4 shots. By 1980, he's now getting 8 shots, twice as many. Autism has gone up substantially. Now take a look. Remember that report I gave you on the percentage of increase? It's in the hundreds of percent per year is the increase in autism. Well, just take a look. You doubled from 4 to 8, then you doubled from 8 to 16. Now you're up to 35. You have doubled 4, 8, 16, 32 shots. And in the process, you have exponentially increased the amount of mercury that your child is receiving because, you know, each one of those shots has a little bit of mercury in it. And this mercury is cumulative. It isn't something that you ingest today and you expel tomorrow. You ingest it today and it stays there. You ingest some more tomorrow and it stays there. You ingest some more the third day and it stays there until finally it overwhelms your immune system. And then you come down with one of those 76 classic mercury symptoms. 76 symptoms of mercury poisoning. Now notice that in America, researchers found some infants who are being vaccinated using multi-dose vials with thimerosal can receive 62.5 micrograms of mercury per visit. This is 100 times more than the intake considered safe for the average 6-month-old by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Now, I didn't calculate that 100 times out there, but here the author, and this is a newspaper in Great Britain, calculates that that's 100 times more than the intake considered safe. Well, just picture that for a minute. Let's suppose that you open up a bottle of aspirin and recommended dosage on here. And so you look at the recommended dosage and it says, well, 2 tablets. So you're going to take 50. Do you think that that would be, well, in this case, it would be 200, wouldn't it? 2 times 100 times, yeah, it would be 200 tablets. Do you think taking 200 aspirin would be safe? Just take a look at any medicine that you're going to take, and then ask yourself, well, would I take 100 times more than the recommendation as being safe? No, I don't think anybody in his right mind would open a bottle of medicine and take 100 times. I don't even think anybody in his right mind would take 2, 3, 5, or 9, or 10 times more than the recommended dose. Now here you are giving your child 100 times more than the intake considered safe for the average six-month-old by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Now, in June of 1999, the FDA discovered that infants who received thimerosal-containing vaccine at several visits may have been exposed to more mercury than recommended by federal guidelines. The following month, the European Agency for the Evaluation of Medicinal Products, it's called the EMEA for you people over there in Europe, issued a statement saying cumulative exposure to ethyl mercury found in thimerosal could lead to a potential cause for concern. Boy, if that isn't an understatement. Cumulative exposure to ethyl mercury found in thimerosal could lead to a potential cause for concern. You're giving your kid 100 times more than his that is considered safe, and then, well, that could be concerning. Well, in May of last year, a scientist from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, that's your CDC in Atlanta, Georgia, gave a presentation based on a study of the Vaccine Safety Data Link Project, a database of 400,000 children with evidence of harm. Did you get that? Let me read you that again. In May of last year, this is May of 2006, a scientist from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, gave a presentation based on a study of the Vaccine Safety Data Link Project. It's a database of 400,000 children with evidence of harm. I remember I've reported to you here in the last few broadcasts, I said the CDC is fully informed. They know what the risks are. They know what the dangers are. And yet, I showed you in the last program, I said, in the eight reports that I have presented here this week on autism, of those eight reports, I'm on number, well, there's 12 reports. Eight of them came out of the government. Of the eight government reports, the word thimerosal does not appear. In the four non-government reports, the word thimerosal not only appears, but is linked with scientific studies. And here's one that reports that the CDC conducted a study on 400,000 children with evidence of harm from thimerosal. All right. Now, the CDC, then, is fully informed. Any arguments that they may make, oh, we just don't know what causes autism. We're just ignorant and don't know. Hell, they not only know, they're covering it up. And with good reason, and I don't blame them for covering it up. I mean, you know, as a defense attorney, let me tell you, as a defense lawyer, we don't come into court and say, well, let me tell you all the indiscretions of my client. Let me tell you how he beat his wife. We deny that he killed his wife, but, well, he used to beat her quite often. You know, we would go out of our way to have a motion in limine to quash any evidence that the other side might want to bring in about our client beating up on his wife. We would do everything we could to keep any evidence out that might be detrimental to our side of the case. I mean, that's a part and parcel with the program. Now, there's nothing honest about the courtroom procedure. I say nothing honest. Maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration. Hell, if we could find one honest thing going on in there, we would discredit that statement. But there's very little that goes on in there. It's an adversarial system. And what we're dealing with here is an adversarial system. And the government has a great interest in proving to you and everybody else that thimerosal is not the culprit. I mean, we want to blame it on anything but thimerosal. Anything. We don't care what it is. If we could show that Candida caused it, well, we would point that out and say, well, see. But you see, the government, first of all, mandated to you people and said, we order you to go get these vaccinations. Then they permitted, through the FDA back in 1935, the pharmaceutical people to put in thimerosal. So what we have here, not necessarily a conspiracy. I'm not suggesting that anybody knew in 1935 that thimerosal was causing these children to develop autism, or would in the future, or that in 1943 when it was first discovered, or in 1950 or 1960. But there's been a long period of time, and now the CDC knows the answer to the riddle, and they're busily working. Now we got a conspiracy. Now they're busily working with the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry and Congress, to cover it up. It's kind of like Nixon, you know, destroying that 18 minutes of tape. I mean, obviously, this is the smoking gun. So we'll destroy the 18 minutes of tape. Now, everybody will know that whatever was on that tape was incriminating, but you'll never know what it was because we destroyed it. So we can still maintain some element of doubt. And, of course, Nixon said, there wasn't anything on that 18 minutes. It was an accident. We didn't mean to destroy it. It just happened. We're just real sorry. All right. Now, you know, there's reason, there's logic, and there's common sense. And there just isn't any common sense in putting a toxic neuropoison like mercury into your food supply. In fact, I'm going to flip the page over here. And I wrote down a list over here of toxins that we have in our food supply. For instance, in our drinking water, we deliberately put in chlorine and fluoride. And these are cumulative toxins. Fluoride is a deadly toxin, so is chlorine. They accumulate in your body. We know that chlorine causes arterial sclerosis, causes hardening of the arteries. We know that fluoride causes you to lose mental cognizance. That is, it's a neurotoxin, it works on your brain, and it makes you docile. Which I guess would explain why you're not concerned about the methylmercury in your vaccines. You've become so docile that you can no longer place an imperative upon this. That, oh my God, this is killing us. Then we've got mercury in our tooth fillings. We have hydrogenated oil, known as trans fat, in our Oreo cookies. And it's not just in the Oreos, it's in nearly everything that you buy that's processed in a grocery store. We have 30% fat by law in our Big Macs, which is in direct violation of the fat law that God gave us in Leviticus 3, verse 17. We have 21 toxic substances in our contrails that they spray us with under Title 50 of the U.S. Code. That's Congress enacted a spraying program with 21 toxic substances that causes upper respiratory problems in people that are 65 or older. We have PCPs and PCBs in our groundwater. We have 87,000 approved chemicals in our commerce. 80% of Americans consume drugs. 50% of Americans are on at least one prescription drug. And of the people that are 65 and older, on average, they're on 6 prescription drugs. 1 person in 100 reports 0 symptoms in the year 2000. That is, 99% of the American population reports that they have symptoms of something medical being wrong with them. In 1917, the number of persons reporting symptoms was 60%. So 40% of us were sick in 1917. But today, 99% of us are sick. And autism is just one more sickness. That's all. It's just added one more layer of sickness on top of cancer and multiple sclerosis and muscular dystrophy, heart attack and stroke, you know, the big killers. Now, there's a cause and effect relationship with that. You know, you were designed. You didn't evolve, you were designed by a creator. A guy came along and he says, hey, I think I'll design a neat product over here. I'll call it a human being. You were designed to live for 70 years, trouble-free, with no sickness or disease. Did you know that? That's the design mechanism. It's kind of like designing a Ford car. You know, they design those cars to run 100,000 miles, and they even put a 100,000-mile warranty on them. Boy, that's really saying something, because I can remember when I was a kid, if you got 60,000 miles out of an engine before it needed to be overhauled or rebuilt, I mean, that was about normal, 60,000 miles. a 1930 Model A Ford, if you could get 30,000 miles out of a Model A Ford before you had to rebuild or put in new bearings, you know, in the crankshaft or turn the crankshaft, I mean, that was about average, 30,000 miles. By 1947, the 1947 Plymouth would get 60,000 miles. That's double. By the 1960s, 100,000 miles was common. And I've seen cars today that have 200,000 miles on them that have not been overhauled yet. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Now, your body was designed just like that. Your creator designed you, and he said, you know, I think I'll put in a little design system in here, and it's called your immune system. And back in 1917, 40% of us were reporting that we had symptoms. We were wearing eyeglasses, or we needed a hearing aid, or we had, you know, some kind of an allergy, or, you know, some kind of a chronic disease. In 1900, the rate of cancer was only 1 in 33. Today, it's 1 in 2. It's 50%. So from 1 in 33, let's take 1 and divide that by 33, it was 3% back in 1900. Today it's 50%. Three people in 100 could expect to get cancer in their lifetime in 1900. Today, 50%, one out of every two. Now, we're not getting better and better. In spite of all of the medicine, in spite of all of the hype, the CDC, the Congress, and the war on drugs, and the war on polio, and the war on cancer, and all of this hype that's going on, we're sicker than ever before. America is the sickest nation in the world. It's the best place in the world to get sick, because we got the best medicine. But getting sick is hardly a substitute for staying well. And autism is hardly a substitute for the fear of getting measles. Boys and girls, childhood diseases are a part and parcel of the normal building of your immune system. Did you know that? In other words, getting measles, mumps, and whooping cough build your immune system so that when you get to be a big boy or a big girl, you don't come down with some disease, some degenerative disease like heart attack, stroke, and cancer, and so on. I mean, I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting to you that we used to go through these childhood diseases without any big problems. People don't die from measles and mumps. And in the rare cases where they did die, and this is the purpose now for the pharmaceuticals coming, oh my God, that child died from measles. Well, you were feeding that kid pig and fat, and you were violating the law of God, and yeah, his immune system was impaired, and he got the measles, and it killed him. But measles isn't a fatal disease. It's a normal childhood disease, pure and simple. Now, this autism over here is not just a simple, normal childhood disease. This is a permanent degenerative disease. I don't think trading measles for autism is worth the price. Now, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Most people believe that if you don't have these vaccines, you're going to get some horrible disease and die. And it is true. It is true. Children have done that. But they didn't do that practicing the Ten Commandments or the 19 health laws of the Bible. If you practice the health laws of the Scripture, you won't die, and you won't get sick. No, I'm not talking about oxymorons here, you know. I'm telling you that there are several childhood diseases that are normal and natural, but not dying from them. That's unnatural and that's not normal. Now, your Creator has given us a guideline. He told us in Leviticus 11, here's what to eat and here's what not to eat. The Creator of the Bible, the Creator of the universe, is not a vegetarian. He's not a vegetarian. He eats meat. And our Messiah was not a vegetarian. He ate meat. And then he drank wine. And he probably drank something a little stronger than wine at the holy days, as he instructed us to do in Deuteronomy chapter 14. So I just thought I'd throw that out there to you, that The God of the Bible is a different breed of cat than the average God, you know, that you hear about in church. He's a little different. And now if you take a look at chlorine, fluoride, methyl mercury, mercury in your tooth fillings, hydrogenated trans fat, 30% fat in your Big Mac, 21 toxic substances in your contrails, PCPs, PCBs, 87,000 chemicals in your commerce, 80% of us consuming drugs, 50% of us on at least one prescription drug, and if we're 65 or older, we're on six prescription drugs, and 99% of us are sick. Doesn't that tell you something about chlorine, fluoride, methyl mercury, hydrogenated oil, 30% fat in your hamburgers, PCPs, PCBs, contrails, and chemicals in your commerce? I mean, you know, just think about the last 100 years. I mean, if in 1917, 60% of us were healthy and well with no symptoms, and today it's 1%, weren't we better off in 1917? Than we are today. Now again, you know, if you just have to have those vaccines, there are vaccines available without the thimerosal in them. Always remember that. They are available without it. I mean, you're going to have to work hard to find them. You're going to have to read the labels, and you're going to have to insist upon it. You know, you're going to have to take the bull by the horns, but it's available. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in total. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network, or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, or you can call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about autism, and autism has been linked to mercury vaccine in Great Britain. Now, the U.S. Institute of Medicine is so concerned that officials have organized a two-day meeting in July. Boyd Haley, chemistry professor at the University of Kentucky, put a paper on, or is supposed to put a paper on there, called Thimerosal is Extremely Toxic. So in general, the researchers argue that the cumulative effect of mercury impairs brain development and damages the child's immune system and gastrointestinal tract. And this buildup could lead to autism or a form of mercury poisoning whose symptoms are similar. Underline whose symptoms are similar. They're practically identical. And I read that to you from the article from the National Autism Association. And I think their report is probably the best of the 12 here that I've reported on. That's called the the National Autism Association. It's all one word. It's www.nationalautismassociation if you want to get them on the web. And they put out this paper. It's a 9-page paper. I think it's best of the lot. Now, in addition, researchers believe the MMR triple vaccine, usually given at 18 months to 2 years, could trigger autism. And that was their point. This is 100 times more than the intake considered safe for the average 6-month-old. And in May of last year, a scientist from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, gave a presentation based on a study of the vaccine safety data link project. It's a data link of 400,000 children with evidence of harm. That was Dr. Thomas Verstraetien, I guess that's the way you pronounce his name, V-E-R-S-T-R-A-E-T-E-N, Verstraetien, of the CDC, found the screening analysis suggests statistically significant associations between certain neurologic developmental disorders such as attention deficit disorder and speech and language disorders, that would be dyslexia, and the exposure to mercury from thimerosal-containing vaccines before the age of 6 months. Now, I said when we took our break, I said the CDC knows that. As a result, the EMEA issued another statement last June saying, for vaccination in infants and toddlers as a precautionary measure, it would be prudent to promote the general use of vaccines without thimerosal. Moreover, the use of thimerosal-free vaccines should be recommended for newborns. Thimerosal-free. Vaccines without thimerosal. Got that, boys and girls? Neither of these EMEA statements received national newspaper publicity in Britain, and at least 10 thimerosal-containing vaccines for children are still in use as drug manufacturers are permitted to finish their stocks. Now, that'll tell you just how concerned the drug manufacturers are about the use of thimerosal in their product. Now, what do you think of somebody that says, well, we're going to continue to get rid of our old stock over here, even though there's some question as to whether this causes autism? I don't think I could sleep at night if I was selling a product and the issue was raised it might cause autism. Now, that's just me, you know, but I find that very, very crass, very, very callous. Once in a while I get a letter in here and it'll say, you know, you don't have any empathy, Gordon. You are crass. Well, maybe. But I would have a hard time selling a product like that. And that's why I'm reporting on this product. This has got to be, for a manufacturer to put out a product that the CDC has done a study on 400,000 children and found that vaccinating children before 6 months causes harm. And then to keep it out of the press, suppress it, and then allow. I mean, it's bad that these government agents and agencies allow these pharmaceutical companies to go ahead and sell their stocks that contain thimerosal. But they allow those same drug companies to keep that thimerosal in greater amounts in a few vaccines so that the total amount that your child is going to be exposed to in his first 5 years of life is the same as it was in 99 and continues to grow year by year, which guarantees the growth of autism. To deliberately with premeditated forethought to cause people to have autism, ladies and gentlemen, has got to be so unconscionable. It has got to be satanic. You know, I can see, you know, taking adults out and killing them. But to do that to babies and little children, you know, seems to me to be beyond the pale. Just absolutely unconscionable. I guess that's just me. Now, neither of these, the EMEA statements, received national newspaper publicity in Britain. Why not? Why didn't they receive national publicity in Britain? And at least 10 thimerosal-containing vaccines for children are still in use as drug manufacturers are permitted to finish their stocks. Jane Maroney, El Dahar, an immunologist at Tulane University, down in New Orleans, Medical Center, New Orleans, said, "It is important for me to emphasize that the message is not to vaccinate children, but to make sure that the vaccines are thimerosal-free." Now, you know, I guess if you've got to have the vaccine, you know, but it's witchcraft. And tomorrow I'm going to tell you the story about this witchcraft. And I'm going to tell you from the pages of the scripture where the bodies are buried and where the rubber meets the road. Now, you've got a guy over here that calls himself a jealous God. And he says, "I'm looking for retribution. I'm looking for revenge. I'm looking for and I'm picking a fight." Boys and girls, I don't think this is the guy that we want to pick a fight with. That's just my conclusion. I'll tell you more about that next time. The health department said thimerosal has played an important role as a preservation in vaccines. Let's think about that. Let's suppose that thimerosal has, in fact, played an important role as a preservative in vaccines. And it has saved the pharmaceutical industry tens of billions of dollars over the 60 or 70 or 80 years that it's been in operation. Let's suppose that we grant them that. Now let's measure those tens of billions of dollars against one child with autism. You know, we might even say, well, you know, measured, you know, billions of dollars against one kid. Well, yeah, probably it was a good buy. How about two children with autism? Was it worth two autistic children? Well, if we save $10 billion, $5 billion each for an autistic child, yeah, I'd say that's probably worth the price. How about four autistic children? 8, 16, 32, 64. Let's just double up and let's figure out how many autistic children should we consider to be acceptable for the savings that were made for the industry over 80 years by the use of this preservative called thimerosal? Because now here in this country, we've got 2 million children with autism, which is going to cost $200 to $400 billion over the next 10 years. Even if we were to grant that the thimerosal saved $10 billion over the next 10 years, it's going to cost you 40 times that amount to take care of the autistic people that have already been damaged. That's not good economics now, is it, boys and girls? You saved $10, but it cost you $400? How many of you people out there, just think about this for a second, how many of you people out there would take your $400 car into a shop and spend $4,000 to fix it? I don't think I've ever met anybody that would take a $400 car into his Midas shop and say, "Hey, listen, price is no object, just fix it. If it's $4,000, I'll just write you the check." You know, normally we say, "Well, what's this car worth?" And we say, "Well, the car is worth $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. I don't even know if people that would spend $4,000 to fix a $4,000 car. I wouldn't. If I had a $4,000 car and I had to fix it for $4,000, I think I'd go out and take the same $4,000 and go buy something else. But you know, this is the story. The health department said thimerosal. This is the health department said. The health department, the government agency said, thimerosal has played an important role as a preservative in vaccines. I can't for the life of me imagine how thimerosal has played an important role, having caused, if in fact it shows that it has caused 2 million cases of autism. Because thimerosal contains mercury, both European and American regulators have recently recommended that vaccine manufacturers phase out its use wherever possible as a precaution. They have not recommended the withdrawal of any vaccines. Okay. So they're not going to withdraw it, and they're not going to make you take it out. We just recommend that you do. I already told you. The pharmaceutical industry now has voluntarily, you know, they stepped to the plate and said, well, you know, we're just to be extra safe, we're going to take thimerosal out of the vaccines. But they've got a plot afoot, boys and girls, to make absolutely certain that the total cumulative amount of thimerosal stays the same or goes up. That's why I said last time the fix is in. Here's the last article. It's number 9 in the list here, but it's not necessarily in that order. But here's number 9. You can get this from Science Daily. Now, Science Daily is www.sciencedaily.com. And again is www.sciencedaily, that's all one word, .com. And they've got an article here on thimerosal found in childhood vaccines can increase the risk of autism-like damage in mice. And so now here's an outfit that went out and took some mice, gave them some mercury, and then took a look at them. And listen to this. A new study indicates that postnatal exposure to thimerosal, a mercury preservative commonly used in a number of childhood vaccines, can lead to the development of autism-like damage in autoimmune disease-susceptible mice. This animal model, the first to show that the administration of low-dose ethyl mercury can lead to behavioral and neurological changes in the developing brain, reinforces previous studies showing that a genetic predisposition affects risk in combination with certain environmental triggers. The study was conducted by researchers at the Jerome L. and Don Green Infectious Disease Laboratory at the Mailman School of Public Health, Columbia University. Over the past 20 years, there's been a striking increase, at least tenfold since 1985, in the number of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders. Genetic factors alone cannot account for this rise in prevalence. Researchers at the Mailman School, led by Dr. Mady Hornig, created an animal model to explore the relationship between thimerosal, ethyl mercury, and autism, hypothesizing that the combination of genetic susceptibility and environmental exposure to mercury in childhood vaccines may cause neurotoxicity. Cumulative mercury burden susceptible or through other sources, including in utero exposures to mercury in fish and vaccines or vaccines, may also lead to damage in susceptible hosts. Timing and quantity of thimerosal dosing for the mouse model were developed using the U.S. immunization schedule for children, with doses calculated for mice based upon 10th percentile weight of U.S. boys at age 2, 4, 6, and 12 months. The researchers found the subject of autoimmune disease susceptible mice with thimerosal exposure to express many important aspects of the behavioral and neuropathologic features of autism spectrum disorders, including abnormal response to novel environments, that's number one. Second, behavioral impoverishment, limited range of behaviors, and decreased exploration of environment, that's two. Three, significant abnormalities in brain architecture affecting areas subserving emotion and cognition, that's three, and increased brain size, that's four. These findings have relevance for identification of autism cases relating to environmental factors, design of treatment strategies, and development of rational immunization programs. The use of thimerosal in vaccines has been reduced over the past few years, although it is still present in some influenza vaccines. Identifying the connection between genetic susceptibility and an environmental trigger for autism, in this case, thimerosal exposure, is important because it may promote discovery of effective interventions for and limit exposure in a specific population, stated the lead author, Dr. Mady Hording. Because the developing brain can be exposed to toxins that are long gone by the time the symptoms appear. Clues gathered in these animal models can then be evaluated through prospective human birth cohorts, providing a powerful tool to dissect the interaction between genes and the environment over time. Citation source, Molecular Pathology, 2004, Volume 9, Advance Online Publications. I give you the source of the information. Now, this comes from ScienceDaily.com. www.sciencedaily.com. All right, now, to finish up here today before we get into the scripture tomorrow. Let me finish up by pointing out some of these similarities. Science Daily now reported that there's a mouse study that's being conducted or has been conducted, and it produced the same symptoms in the mice that we see in babies, that is, children, minors. And there's a table A here from this group called the National Autism Association. Now, they're right close by me here in Nixa, Missouri. Now, if you want my opinion, I think the National Autism Association and their article, a 9-pager here, has more merit than all of the others, any of the others. I won't say all of them combined, but it's a 9-page report, and I think that they have laid out the cause, laid out the case, and made a better presentation than any of the rest. Now, they're strictly partisans. They're strictly partisans. They absolutely, without a doubt, believe firmly and fully that thimerosal causes autism and a number of other autoimmune diseases, including but not limited to dyslexia and ADHD. Now, just because they're partisans doesn't mean that their testimony isn't fair and unbiased. I'm a partisan. And when I make a report based upon my belief. And I tell you plainly, this is a partisan belief. I firmly believe that these guys are correct, based upon the evidence that I see. And I'd like to have this case and take it into court, because I think that the National Autism Association has built a hell of a lot better case than the one that I reported that's being taken before the National Vaccine Court. And here's another thing, too. You know, sometimes you can get a false flag operation. It is not unreasonable, and I've seen it happen many times here at the law school. Many times your attorney, who you're paying and who is working for you, will actually work for the other side and throw the case. There was a case out in Nevada that has been won by one rancher, and so the same law firm that represented this rancher and won the case took on a case for another rancher out there and lost the case. And they argued it entirely different. The second case, they argued entirely different than the first case. Now, why would they do that? Because the fix was in. The fix was in. Now, let's picture this. Let's suppose that the attorney that's working for this little girl in Yuma, Arizona, he's going to get paid so much money for doing that case. Let's suppose the Pfizer people come to that attorney and say, if you win this case, how much are these people going to pay you? And he might say, well, they're going to pay me $100,000. Okay. What if we paid you double that to lose the case? So you can collect $100,000 from your clients. And it doesn't make any difference whether you win or lose. They're going to pay you the $100,000. If you lose the case, we will pay you $200,000. That way you can make $300,000 off the case. How would you respond to that kind of an offer, that kind of a bribe? Those kinds of offers are made all the time to lawyers. Now, some lawyers are honest. Some lawyers would tell you to take it and stuff it where there's no daylight. So I'm not telling you that all lawyers are dishonest crooks, because I happen to know a few lawyers, and a few of them are absolutely honest, straight from the shoulder kind of people that wouldn't do that. But I've run across a few that have done that, and I've run across a few cases that I can document, and I teach here in our Courtroom Strategy and Procedure School, and document those cases where they have taken those kind of bribes. So it's very common. It goes on all the time. And we're talking about billions and billions of dollars. So when you take one little girl with autism and you hire an attorney and you say, well, let's go to court, I can't imagine those people having the resources to pay more than $100,000 for a win. Hell, even if they're millionaires, they might have $2 or $3 million that they could expend. I've seen people that have money that would spend $1 million, $2 million. I saw one, $2.5 million spent on a case over $5,000 to win it. And they won it. The O.J. Simpson case was $3.5 million to win, and they won it. So there are people out there with money. But I'm telling you that as a general practice, that isn't the case. And those lawyers can be compromised in a heartbeat. Compromised in a heartbeat. And where money talks, boys and girls, there is graft and corruption. And you just saw it with Scooter Libby. I mean, that's a case of graft and corruption right at the highest level. And you can't argue with the president. I mean, after all, he's got the power to commute or to pardon. And I'm not blaming the Republicans. Hell, Bill Clinton did it in his last 30 days in office. He gave out a couple of hundred of those pardons for the same kind of political reasons, which ought to tell us a little bit of a story here. People with power will abuse that power. People with authority and power will abuse that authority, and they'll abuse that power. And then when we add into that money, like this representative, his name was Cunningham. He was a hero of the Vietnam War, a hero in the war. And he succumbed to taking bribes. Hey, it's not something that, you know, you could say, I would never take a bribe. Oh, no? You wouldn't take $1 million? $10 million? $100 million? How about $1 billion? As one old friend of mine said to me one time, he says, you never want to trust me with any more money than you can afford to lose, George, because every man has his price. Never risk more than you can afford to lose. I thought that was good advice, and I pass it on. All right, we're about out of time. I'm going to have to remind you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.